New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows a resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball, and we're here. It's the talking is over. Well, I mean,
I shouldn't say that. Like, the
talking will continue, but we'll be talking about games that count in less than 4 days from this recording. First game in the Darren DeVries era at WVU, and there's a different energy with a new coach. This is the, with love and respect to Josh Seiler, it did not have that new coach feeling last season, interim coach Josh Seiler. And I'll always respect Coach Seiler and the situation he was put in, given those circumstances. I don't want to get into that. This is a new era. And the last two new eras, the first season, was very exciting. Gail Catlett gone. That one guy was here for a couple of weeks, didn't win and didn't lose. And then John Beilein. And you saw from the jump, and he had a bunch of freshmen starting from scratch. That team had a losing record, but it was definitely a style change from Gail Catlett, and it was a fun watch. Even though they struggled, that was fun. And Bob Huggins coming back to his home state, so fun. It was that first season, that's probably the most excited I've been, but this is close. And you know what? With all the newness, I don't usually do predictions until after a couple of games into the season, get my bearings. Why not just do it now? And so you got to start with what we've seen from the team in the preseason. They're undefeated in Italy. They didn't lose. They had a public scrimmage, a public exhibition. They won that. And then multiple reports and indications are that WVU had their secret scrimmage recently. Undisclosed location, undisclosed day. I'm not going to say who the opponent was. Let's say that school's name rhymes with Snake Sorest. Okay? And I'm not saying who it is. But that's my only hint. And that school, that team, predicted to be really good, top tier in their conference. And so there's no red flags in their performance in the preseason, in games, secret, foreign, public, that didn't count, but they absolutely happened. You look at the roster, this team has a wooden award watch list guy, Tucker DeVries. You've got defensive hawks in Toby Okoni, Sincere Harris. Veteran guards who have played in the Big 12, Javon Small, Joe Yusufu, another veteran guard in Jaden Stone. Exciting freshmen that can contribute to various degrees this season in Jonathan Powell, KJ Tenner. And you have the two bigs. You got Imani Hansberry, who's going to be the starter, undersized five that will stretch the floor, very good hands, can finish around the rim. And then you got Ed Andre 3000, capable backup. And so that's, I don't know if there's going to be a 10-man rotation. I think we'll see those 10 guys in some capacity throughout the season. And most likely, the regular rotation is going to be 8 or 9. And I think the X factor is Amani Hansberry. In that public scrimmage, the offense looked the best when him, Javon, and Tucker were on the floor. And I think how well he contributes this season, Hansberry, will have a big effect on what the ceiling is for this team. I think Coach DeVries has put a really good team in year one. Here's the issue. They're in the Big 12. We're going to get into the schedule here in a minute. The travel adjustment for almost everybody. I mean, it's night and day compared to the Missouri Valley Conference traveling in this league. Those are headwinds. And so both can be true. It can be a really good team, and they have to deal with this schedule and parts of the schedule are just brutal. And so for any team, it's going to make wins tough to come by. So that's the team. Now, before we get to predictions, I want to actually dig into some questions that were asked in the Smoking Musket Discord. If you haven't joined the Discord, I highly recommend that you get in there, join fellow WVU fans, football, basketball, all the sports, other stuff. Go to smokingmusket.com, look for the Discord link, or just find the link for Discord in the show notes of this episode. There's so much newness to this season, so many questions going in. And I think one question, the first question from Dr. Feelgood 24 is a question that's kind of floating under the radar. Dr. Feelgood 24 asks, how will this brand new season affect LeBron's legacy? And nobody's talking about that. And everything ties to LeBron. And the link to LeBron's legacy on this team is Sincere Harris. From Akron, Ohio, went to LeBron's high school, and if Sincere breaks out this season, and I think he's going to be a fan favorite, if he breaks out, expect someone to ask LeBron about it during the season, and expect LeBron to answer in a way where he takes credit for Sincere Harris's success, and thus adding to LeBron's legacy. So I think that's the effect. Slaw asks, who plays the best on-ball defense? And this isn't a cop-out to say that everybody's going to be really good at off-ball defense, because I think this different style of defense that Coach DeVries brings versus the Bob Huggins style, it definitely leans more on help defense. And I think we'll find this group will be better as a whole with help defense and off-ball defense compared to the last few seasons that we've watched. But if I had to pick one, I think it's going to be Toby Okoni. I mean, he's our swing guy. He's 6'7", long wingspan. He's great on ball, but his length is going to be a problem when he's helping, when he's off the ball. Not so much like a free safety, but I think he's definitely going to be in passing lanes, be able to move over and help. That's my guess for best off-ball defense. Knight676 asks, are you concerned at all the only reason he was a good coach, talking about Coach DeVries, is because his son is that good, and when he's gone, he will be exposed as a bad coach? Also, how do you think recruiting has gone so far? So let's start with the last one. Let's start with recruiting. And I'm not a recruiting guy. You know the folks that are deep in the recruiting game, and you need to follow those guys that follow WVU football recruiting and basketball recruiting. But here's what I know, is that when DeVries came in, he was able to flip Jonathan Powell from Xavier to WVU, and he was able to bring Mr. Tennessee, KJ Tenner, from Drake to WBU. And I think especially Powell, that's an amazing get. When, like, you have it, you don't have a record at WBU, just your reputation and, of course, the other stuff get you into WBU. That's an amazing get. And then they already have a 2025 commit who 24/7 is graded as the fifth best commit for basketball at WBU since 24/7 has been keeping track of it, and Kelvin Ody. So you're talking, he's rated higher than Derek Culver, than Devin Williams, a little bit behind Kevin Jones. They're like top five in the ballpark. When you're in that conversation, that's really impressive and a real great commit to get when you are 0-0 at WBU. They also got the number one recruit from West Virginia in 6'8", Brandon Hawthorne. So I think high school recruiting's off to a good start. We'll see how the transfer portal group does this season, who they can bring in from the portal in the upcoming spring. And they're going to be in the portal because you got the two high school recruits. They'll be looking for at least five more guys, at least five, because you know how this stuff works. So I think he, so far, so good. On the, is Coach DeVries' success inflated by his son? There's no doubt that when you have a guy who is your son, who is back-to-back conference player of the year, it does help your coaching resume. Fact. But Coach DeVries has been at Drake for six seasons before he came to WVU. Tucker was there for three of them. So it was three seasons that he didn't have Tucker. And you can see all three of those seasons prior to Tucker with 20-plus win seasons. And he kind of built it up to a 26-5 record and an NCAA tournament bid the season before Tucker showed up. So it was progressing, and even year one, it's not like they won the conference in year one, but got the 20 wins. And so he was a good coach prior to Tucker, and he did it at a school. I can't stress this enough. Drake is not a basketball school. This is not a rich pedigree basketball school. This isn't Indiana State. Drake has been doing basketball since 1906, and Drake's been to the NCAA tournament seven times. So by my math, that's over 100 years of playing basketball. They've done it seven times. That's not a great success rate. And Coach DeVries is responsible for one of those seven Drake appearances in the NCAA tournament without Tucker DeVries, and two with him. So his success, definitely not tied to Tucker, I think. But by the same token, you lose Tucker DeVries, it's going to be tough to replace that guy, a wooden watch list guy. So both can be true, but I don't think it affects like my opinion of him as a coach with or without Tucker DeVries. I think we've got a good coach. And it reminds me of the guy he was an assistant for before he took the Drake job, which is Greg McDermott at Creighton. When he got the job back in the 2010-2011 season, his son, Doug McDermott, started his freshman year. So the Greg's first four seasons with the Blue Jays, Creighton made the tournament three of those 4 years. Dougie Buckets goes to the NBA. Tough first season post-Doug for Greg McDermott. And then after that, nine straight 20-plus win seasons, six NCAA tournaments, a couple of tournaments where they got to the second weekend. And he would have went to seven tournaments if not for pandemic. So an example of kind of same plight where it's like, is this guy just good because his son was really good at basketball? Is that why he's good at coaching? And that season after, I bet that question came up a lot. And then he's put together quite a run and a successful program at Creighton. So I think that's the comparable. That's what you look at. And then the last question from the Discord, and thanks everybody for participating, comes from West By Pod co-host Jordan Pinto. So definitely after you listen to this, or just stop this right now and go check out West by Pod, the Smoking Musket WVU football podcast. Joel, Jordan, they cover WVU football, and this is a wild time to be covering WVU football on a podcast. It's got shades of the tone has shades of the of the last few years in basketball and the frustration levels when you're doing a podcast. But Jordan's question is, on a scale of 2010 to 2018, how much will we enjoy watching this team? Very good question. I go to 2015, which was the first year of Press Virginia. I mean, Coach DeVries is going to have definitely a new style, but it's going to have hints of the last two coaches. It's going to have a hint of Beilein on offense, where you're seeing the more continuity with the more passing and less dribbling, focus on shooting threes, high basketball IQ stuff. So a taste of DeVries, and then you're going to get a taste of Huggins. When you watch Nasir Harris and Toby Okonie play one ball defense and the way they play defense, it's going to, I mean, Nasir Harris, brace yourself. There's going to be Javon Carter references this year in relation to watching Nasir Harris and the work he does on the defensive end. I don't think that's not fair to either Nasir or Javon. I'm just preparing you for that. He's going to get those comparables. And Okonie trying to channel Gabe. I mean, so you have a little bit of both, but this is definitely new. Definitely going to be an enjoyable style of basketball as far as enjoying watching the team. Just like Press Virginia was exciting and enjoying when you were watching that team. It was a little bit different. That enjoyment was more of a watch the other team get grinded down, you know? An unrelenting, we'll foul you 100 times. You won't call 100 fouls, grind you down kind of way. It was new. It was exciting. And this is not Press Virginia, but it's definitely different than what we've seen the last few seasons.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Save big money on your next project right now at Menards. Give your home an elegant look with Mastercraft pre-finished hardwood molding. Available in 5 pre-finished colors to save you time. Just cut and install for a simple upgrade to any room. Save big on all Mastercraft molding products. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Marino says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Marino is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Marino was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
So thanks for the questions. Check out the Discord. Get in there if you haven't already. Let's get into prediction time. All right, to do the predictions, we've got to start. It's look at the schedule time. And let's start with the non-conference schedule. 11 games in the non-conference schedule, and they break down into three categories. The first category are the bye games. And that's Robert Morris, Iona, North Carolina Central, Bethune-Cookman, and Mercyhurst. 5 games at home against teams that are in the 200s or higher in Ken Pomeroy's computer rankings. Now, Bethune-Cookman, they got some first-place votes in the SWAC preseason poll.
Iona and North Carolina Central are picked near the top of their respective conferences. West Virginia lost two bye games last season. They lost to Monmouth. They lost to Radford. Those stung a bunch and gave us an impression of what the season had in store for us. Not to say that there will be zero nervous moments in these games, but I would be shocked if this team drops a bye game this season. So I'm predicting 5-0 in the bye games. So let's move on to the three non-bye games in the non-conference schedule. That's going to Pitt and home games versus UMass and Georgetown. UMass lost three starters to the portal. Georgetown is year two of Ed Cooley. And Pitt brings back three starters. They bring back those tall twins. They add some good transfers. How many can WVU win out of these three games? I think they can at least get one at home. And optimistically, I'm going to say two. So being optimistic, that's 2-1 in those games, and that gets you 7-1. Seven wins, one loss overall in the non-conference schedule. The last non-conference category is the Bad Boy Mowers battle for Atlantis in the Bahamas. And every game is going to be difficult in the Bahamas. You start with Gonzaga, who West Virginia is 0-for. Not a rich history for WVU against Gonzaga. And then you play either preseason top 25 Indiana or Louisville with year one Pat Kelsey in the second game. And then the third game is going to be either current Big 12 foe Arizona, former Big 12 foe Oklahoma, former Big East foe Providence, or Davidson. And when Mike Kazaza was on the podcast last week, listen to that episode if you haven't already, he went under 1.5 wins for WVU in the Bahamas. And I think there's a path for two wins, depending on who they draw in that second and third game. I am not predicting West Virginia beating Gonzaga. But so there's a path for two. I'll go with one win in the Bahamas. So my prediction for the non-conference schedule is 8 wins and 3 losses going into the 20-game Big 12 schedule that comes at you fast. And so there's three tiers of the Big 12 schedule. And let's start with the five Big 12 teams that humans and computers agree are projected top 10 teams in the country. Five. There's a top 10. Half of them are in one conference. That's the conference that West Virginia belongs to. Houston, Kansas, Iowa State, Arizona, and Baylor. And West Virginia has 6 games against these teams, 3 home, 3 away. And 4 of these games are in West Virginia's first 6 Big 12 games of the season. Brutal start for a first-year head coach and a whole new roster. So the question is, can West Virginia get a win out of these 6 games? Can you sneak a home win? You know, last year, as bad as that team was, there was the Pat Sumlin game against Kansas. That team snuck a win against a top team in the conference. So I'm going to be optimistic and say they can sneak one. And that's as far as I'm going. So that's 1-5 in the Big 12 schedule. The next 4 Big 12 teams are thought of highly by the computers and receive votes in the AP and coaches poll. And that's Texas Tech, year 2 of Grant McCaslin, Cincinnati, BYU with a new coach, and Kansas State. And West Virginia has 6 games against these teams, 4 away, 2 home games. And one of the away games, it's the game that stands out in the schedule for me, is you just take a trip to Lubbock, Texas in February. Without that being tied to another road game, it's just, hey, go to Lubbock and then come back. Really dumb. Don't like it. The home games are versus Cincinnati and BYU. So Can West Virginia go 2-4 in these games? And I'm going to be optimistic and say they can. And so that gets you to 3-9 in the conference. You heard what I said earlier. Like, I'm excited for this team. I think they're going to be a really good team. And this really good team, I have so far as 3-9 in the Big 12 schedule. And the remaining games are the quote-unquote bottom six Big 12 opponents. TCU. Jamie Dixon's been there forever, has done really well at TCU, and it's at a lower tier. They had a bunch of turnover in the offseason. TCU, Central Florida, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, and Oklahoma State. Three new Big 12 schools in Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. West Virginia has 8 games against these teams. 5 of them are at home. The 3 away games are at Colorado in early January, kind of the quote-unquote break between all the tough games early in the Big 12 schedule. They have to go to the dumb frog skin court in mid-February in Fort Worth, and they go to Utah late in the season. So can West Virginia hold serve at home versus these teams and sneak a win out of the Mountain Time Zone against either Colorado or Utah? And I'm sticking with optimism and say that they will. So that gives me 6 wins out of those 8 games. And so overall for the Big 12 schedule, that puts WVU, my prediction, 9-11. In the Big 12. That's an optimistic prediction. And so my overall optimistic prediction for WVU this season is they'll have a record of 17-14 going into the Big 12 tournament. Is that enough for an NCAA tournament berth? I don't think so, but it does get you to some kind of postseason tournament. And that's muddy now. Like, there's the NIT. I think Fox has their own competing tournament. I don't know how it works. We'll get there when we get there. But if they do that, that's a successful year one for Coach DeVries. I feel like I'm being optimistic in my prediction. So if they can't get the 17 wins, but show signs of promise and show signs of looking like what they looked like in the public exhibition game, and they throw in a couple of upset wins here and there, then it's a starting point for Darren DeVries that you can build on. No shame in that. Now, if WVU somehow gets 9 or even 10 wins in the non-conference schedule, let's say they come back from the Bahamas with 2 wins and they somehow go to Pitt and beat them and hold serve at home and win all the bye games, and they get those 9 Big 12 wins, now we're talking at least a bubble resume for the NCAA tournament. And if West Virginia somehow gets 10 conference wins, what if they go 500 in the Big 12? Then for sure, that's an NCAA tournament bid in year one, and we're all riding so high. West Virginia basketball school once again, and watch out. I led with what I think is going to happen. If it doesn't meet that, I'm not bummed out because it's year one. I believe in that there's a year one and an adjustment period, and you see signs of what the future can hold. And then I gave you the third one, which there are people that follow college basketball, more than one, who would not be shocked if WVU hits the ground running in year one. And you could make that argument. Like, you've got, if Tucker DeVries is an NBA guy, then you've got a chance to be a tournament team because you got an NBA guy. Like, I don't think that's a stretch. Listen, the karmic argument is last season was an absolute low point, and I'm not going to break all the bad breaks down that happened in a 10-month span. But if you believe in the words of head coach Neil Brown on the football side, that these things even out, the brothers and sisters, if things are going to even out in one season, that means we're in for an awesome season. I would love the karmic route. And you would too.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read the articles about WVU sports. Listen to West by Pod, another podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella about football. Joel and Jordan do a great job there. Join the Smoking Musket Discord. Follow Smoking Musket on social media. Do all that stuff and join me underneath the Smoking Musket umbrella.
So the next game for WVU is their first game that counts, the first game of the Darren DeVries era. Monday, November 4th, at the Coliseum, 7 p.m., ESPN+. West Virginia plays the Robert Morris Colonials. Robert Morris is coming off of a 10-win season. They've had four straight losing seasons. They've struggled since they moved from the Northeast Conference to the Horizon League. They're picked ninth in the preseason Horizon coaches poll. Loss of roster turnover. But the coach has been there a long time. No real statistical trends that I can see that stand out as something to watch for. Is like they have a strength that WVU has a weakness in. I think it's a good opponent to start with. I'm predicting a win. I'm going out on a limb and saying WVU is going to win their first game of the season. And we'll talk about it after the game on Monday night. That's it for this episode. I mean, you'll talk about it, and then I'll talk about it on the microphone. You can listen to it if you'd like to. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms, or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh with WVU for the 2024-2025 season. They have 0 wins and they have 0 losses.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.